strange. Hey, kids, I go on the ground, get some heavy rest. Never have to worry about what is worst or what is best. Do it.
Welcome back. It is March 14th, season 2, episode 37 of the Let Me Be Frank podcast. Brian and Pete here with you today. It's March, March Madness. This is March, as John Rothstein says. It's officially here. But little did we know the madness was going to carry over to NFL free agency, where everything hit the fan on Tuesday.
Yeah, I think the NFL got a little bit jealous of the NBA's season-long offseason, and they kind of wanted to get in on it.
Yeah, I mean, you and I have talked at length about how the NBA season doesn't end anymore because the offseason is so entertaining. And at this point, you got to look at it and see a little bit of, you know, jealousy coming from the NFL, a league that is, as our president would say, dying for ratings right now, although they're still probably the most popular of the big four sports. They just went off today. Today was a big day for the NFL. We'll get into the details, but yeah, there's definitely some sort of copycatism. You know, it's a copycat league, as they say.
And the big splashy moves are the way to get us millennials interested in the game, as we all grew up signing players in Madden. So
big
time. We're interested in.
So let's get it going. The biggest quarterback on the market, Kirk Cousins, excuse me, not Kurt, Kirk.
The Vinny Del Negro calling Kirk Heinrich, Kurt.
Yes. Oh man, that fucking guy. I could go on and on about him, but Kirk Cousins to Minnesota, 3 years, $84 million, essentially just forcing division rival Green Bay to pay Aaron Rodgers somewhere in the $140, $150 million guarantee range, which is just lovely for the Packers because they've got a ton of cap space next season and they're going to have to use a bunch of it right away on Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, this doesn't bode well for Green Bay. I do like that. I'm a big fan of, actually, though, of just taking Green Bay out of it, that he got his contract fully guaranteed, because I'm all for having guaranteed contracts in the NFL. Yeah. And making that part of his deal would set a cool precedent, I think, if more people start doing that.
It's something that the players have been clamoring for forever. Obviously, the owners don't want it, because then all these crazy contracts that we see doled out have to get paid. It's more like baseball at this point, or basketball, where you have the contracts and you have to pay them. Basketball has a little leniency with the random ways you can waive a guy with the amnesty clause and shit like that. But the NFL is the only league that we really don't see this money guaranteed, and guys can sign 4 year, $40 million deals, and it only really matter for the 12 that they guaranteed. So Kirk getting the full guarantee is huge, but another quarterback with some big guaranteed money on a one-year deal, Sammy Sleeves, 1 year, $20 million, 15 guaranteed. Sam Bradford got paid more than Jay Cutler. Just let that soak in for a minute. Sam Bradford played, what, three games last season?
Yeah, and his knee, then, and the entire Vikings medical staff didn't exactly know what was wrong with his knee for the rest of the season. There's a lot of stuff in there.
Yeah, there's so much scar tissue here that we have just no idea what to do with you. So if you want to play, you can play. Otherwise, don't worry about it. And he just said, ah, fuck it. I'll let Case Keenum do his thing. Keenum, another quarterback on the move. He signed with, and I'm blanking here, so we're going to have to edit this. Where did he go?
Ooh, hold on. Was he with the... Oh, my God. I'm forgetting, too. Case Keenum was going to... Final answer. And... Denver Broncos.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so Sam Bradford said he'd step aside. He wasn't going to play, leading the way for Case Keenum to lead the Vikings to the NFC Championship, and then Keenum getting a payday going to Denver. Interesting fit there. I don't know what to think, because Keenum's been around for so long and he's never really put it all together like he did last year. Granted, he had a great team. The defense was incredible. I don't know that Denver's defense is that good anymore. I think Von Miller's great. Other than that, there's a lot of question marks. And what do they really have on offense? Demaryius Thomas?
Yeah, I mean, Demaryius, CJ Anderson.
Yeah.
I mean, the shelf life of running backs, you never know from year to year how they're going to perform. So, I mean, the altitude, he's never been a deep ball thrower. He could probably toss it a few.
Now, like, now he'll get the deep ball going. Imagine Josh Allen up in that air.
Do you think that's like actually part of John Elway's strategy? Just like he just picks out guys that are like short throwers. Just like, all right, with the altitude, I think we can add the deep ball to this guy's game.
We'll get about 5 or 6 extra yards strictly off of the thin air. And then once we teach him some more mechanics, put it up to 10. I really hope it is, because that would be so awesome. But I just don't see John Elway thinking that far ahead. That's too progressive for him. We're talking about the all-time greatest quarterback in Broncos history, who has had a track record of just god-awful quarterbacks since he's taken over.
Yeah, it hasn't looked pretty so far.
No, it hasn't. Another big deal, or let's just stick with quarterbacks. Drew Brees, 2 years, $50 million to stay in New Orleans. It sounded like the Vikings came over the top with a massive offer, and he just said, nah, I want to stay home.
Orleans. 2 years, $60 million guaranteed.
I heard they were contemplating 4 years, $120 million, but decided against it and went with the 2 years, $60 million guaranteed.
I mean, it seems like, yeah, that they're going all in, and I think they're more than happy with Cousins after they were willing to give Breeze that much money.
Right. And I think the thing is, they look at their team and say, the defense is still going to be here. It's still going to be just as good. And any weaknesses they have on offense, they can kind of fix. Thielen's there. Stephon Diggs. They've got a couple other guys. Obviously, Dalvin Cook's going to be back from injury. He was having an awesome year before he tore his knee up. So add a competent quarterback, not that Case Keenum wasn't, but add a consistent threat where you know what you're going to get with Kirk Cousins. And all of a sudden, they think, why can't they win the NFC North again, you know?
Yeah, and Kirk Cousins throwing for as many yards as he has with the Washington Redskins and gets tossed into the Viking system where Sam Bradford threw for the league highest completion percentage 2 years ago. And then Case Keenum had success last year. I don't see why he can't be like a top 10 quarterback. Or already,
exactly.
Basically.
Yeah, I mean, he could probably work his way into the top 5. Here's a great question. Who's the best quarterback in the division now? Rodgers has health concerns. Matt Stafford got paid the big bucks, but we don't know if he can perform in the big games. Mitchell Trubisky on his way up. Who knows? It's anybody's league right now.
We're definitely going to have the highest paid quarterbacks.
Big time. Big time. So the NFC North is just going to be crazy competitive for a long time here until Rodgers keeps breaking his collarbone and can't play anymore.
Don't you wish that on me, please?
Then it's Deshaun Kaiser.
Yeah, I have faith. We got him out of Cleveland. He's safe. Yes.
Josh McCown, last quarterback signing that we will talk about. 1 year, $10 million to remain with the Jets. I don't hate the deal. It's not much money to get a guy that you know what you're going to get for him, competent quarterback, in the least a backup or an older veteran that can mentor a young rookie draft pick, maybe a Baker Mayfield. Who knows? But that is possible. We got Jimmy Graham to your Green Bay Packers. Mm-hmm. They also cut Jordy Nelson to make the deal. I just want to see your thoughts there. I've heard a lot from Packers fans, and I'm unsure of how people handle it or want to go about it here.
I'm pretty conflicted when it comes to Jordy. He's definitely lost a step. He's turning 33 this year, I want to say. And he had an off year, but again, that was with Brett Hundley, not Aaron Rodgers.
True.
So I think he could have still been a productive player on our team, but I'm guessing they want, like, he wasn't giving them a hometown discount and they decided to part ways, is what I'm guessing was the situation.
Yeah, I think it also has to go along with the fact that they just signed Devontae Adams to a big deal. They've still got Randall Cobb under contract. You know, you've already got receivers in place. You don't really need anyone else. The talk was that they were trying to trade Randall Cobb, and obviously nothing came of that, so they just released Jordy. Two things out of this. I don't know why the Packers keep grabbing these big name tight ends and then just never use them. They did it with Jared Cook. They did it with Martellus Bennett. Now they're going to do it with Jimmy Graham.
Yep.
And then Jordy Nelson's going to look great in a Patriots jersey. I know everyone's making that joke on Twitter, but they just lost, great segue, Danny Amendola to Miami. They need a white guy to replace him. It's Jordy Nelson, 100%.
Yeah, I hate that you just brought that into the universe. This isn't going to be pretty when I see Jordy Nelson in the AFC championship game. And we're in, Packers don't even come close, but it's fine.
Yeah, it's one of those things where I never liked Jordy Nelson, obviously, because he inflicted so much pain on me as a Bears fan. Now that he's a free agent, I don't really care. Like, I don't care what the guy does, but it's too perfect. It's like Danny Woodhead getting cut as well. You kind of feel like the Patriots are just going to wait around, see if they don't get signed, and if they don't, snag them on like unbelievably cheap deals and then turn them into super productive players.
See, I would love to have Woodhead on the Packers.
That wouldn't be a bad signing. Add him.
I feel like he fits ours.
Put him on the Bears. Make him a slot receiver. Or play two running backs on third down with him and Tariq Cohen. You never know who's going to get the ball out of the backfield. I just solved Mike Lennon's issues. Mr. Checkdown. All he needed to do was get a guy like Danny Woodhead in the backfield with Cohen, run a couple vertical routes to open up the field, and then you've got two guys to check it down to that can make plays. Boom. Mike Lennon's an all-pro player.
That's just unstoppable.
Yeah, I mean, I'm waiting. Ryan Pace, give me a call. I will help you out. Couple other receivers signed. We have Sammy Watkins to the Kansas City Chiefs, $48 million deal.
It's a lot of money.
A lot of money for a guy that gets injured. Yeah, I mean, he had a nice year with the Rams, but it was nothing that popped off the page and was super special. And now all of a sudden, he's making the most money out of the free agent receivers. So I don't know what to think, you know? Getting Mahomes weapons.
I mean, he's just one of those guys, like, he's just the guy who's, like, continuing, like, oh, Sammy Watkins, he could have a huge year.
He could break it up this year.
For the past 4 years.
Right. Dante Moncrief going from Indianapolis to Jacksonville on a deal that is to make up for the loss of top receiver in the class, Allen Robinson, heading to Chicago. Big deal for the Bears. They add to their receiving core that was nothing last season. It was horrendous. Bears are back. All right, that's all I'm going to say. It snowed today in Chicago. It got cold and windy as the Bears were making these signings. Bear weather is back. The Bears are back. Fuck global warming. We're here to stay. All right.
It does seem like God is on Mitch's side here with the weather and all that.
God is a Bears fan. I don't know if you knew, folks, but God is a Bears fan
on the seventh day, God created bear weather.
He did. The last big signing we'll talk about, Malcolm Butler to Tennessee, guy who did not play in the Super Bowl, signs with the Tennessee Titans, 5 years, $61 million. Cornerbacks, I remember when cornerbacks used to get paid like in the hundreds of millions with Nnamdi Asamoah and Darrell Revis and guys like that. Now we're talking 5 years, $61 million is a huge deal. Yes, $61 million is a lot, but if you look at those older contracts from even a decade ago, it's like, where is the money going? Why aren't cornerbacks in a pass heavy league making as much money, especially ones that can shut down players? Not that I don't know that Malcolm Butler is very necessarily a shutdown corner, but he's a Pro Bowler. Like he's a top notch corner, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. To be honest, I don't have an answer for that. Like, I don't know where the money has gone for corners, but Butler must have had a damn good explanation for why he didn't play in the Super Bowl for the Titans to get that money.
Either that or the Titans were like, we don't give a shit what happened there. Bill Belichick probably did something stupid, or he was just being him. Bill being Bill. And you know what? We need another corner. We don't have Cortland Finnegan anymore out there. So we need somebody. Or Captain Munnerlyn.
That's just bad business if they're going blatantly against what Bill Belichick's intuition is, because it's normally right.
Yeah, he. If Bill Belichick says no, there's a good reason for it. You know, he's not just a guy that out of nowhere is like, yeah, no, I just don't feel it right now. Only caveat to that could be Jimmy Garoppolo, and I don't think we'll ever know the reason they traded him. But I mean, it is what it is at this point. Jimmy G, handsome Jim. With all of that being said, we have a great transition here from the NFL to the NBA as Steph Curry and now Diddy, Sean Combs, looking to make a bid for the Carolina Panthers. People might forget that when Diddy originally announced his plans or hopes to make a bid for the Panthers, that he said his first order of business, if he became owner, was to sign Colin Kaepernick and put him in the quarterback competition.
Yeah, give him a chance for the starting role.
Taking the only black quarterback that is starting in the league out of a job.
And he also only called them the North Carolina Panthers, as if there is a South Carolina team.
I would actually love the move if he renamed them the North Carolina Panthers.
Yeah, the NC Panthers.
Great for branding right there. I mean, he could make everything anew. Just new logo, new everything.
Yeah, I mean, I'm all for it. Having Steph on a team.
I mean, at this point, you got to wonder when LeBron's going to buy the Browns. Because if Steph starts, I'll put it this way. If Steph is the one that's breaking ground on athletes owning other big four sports teams, LeBron either had to have kicked the tires or is going to be very upset that he didn't and want to get in there immediately.
LeBron, first ever owner player.
That's very possible. Browns fans are ecstatic about that idea. As of now, they have been calling for LeBron to be playing receiver for them forever.
I mean, they already, speaking of receivers who are like built like LeBron, Josh Gordon re-signed today.
Good for him. I like that guy.
Veterans minimum, $790,000. So
I wish the Bears grabbed him.
It's amazing how detrimental weed is to your earnings in the NFL.
Yeah, but beating a woman isn't. So good to know where the NFL's priorities stand.
Mm-hmm. Not one weed.
Not once. And then the NBA, that's where we were going with this. The Spurs, San Antonio, the dynasty, the best team pretty much of the 2000s as of now. I think they could go a whole decade with a losing record and still be the best team of this century, are out of the playoffs as of this moment.
Yeah, it's a four-way tie between seven and between 8 and 10, or three-way tie, I should say. There's three positions there. Between Utah, Denver, and San Antonio, and because of tiebreakers, San Antonio is in the 10th spot currently. They're all 37-30, so what is that, 15 games to go, and they got to pass up Utah, who has won 18 of their last 20, I think.
And red Denver, hot since the trade.
And Denver, since the Jay Crowder trade.
Derrick Rose making an impact.
Not on the court, but just in the locker room.
Yes, he's making an impact.
Mm-hmm. And then Denver, who's getting back Paul Millsap, who got back Paul Millsap. So it'll be interesting. If I don't know if this is going to rush Kawhi back. You think this is going to pressure him to come back before that? He's actually ready?
No, I don't. I mean, if he hasn't played yet, I don't see why you would. Does he really care if the Spurs make the playoffs? I mean, like, I'm sure he wants to win, but I think he can tell that this year this team is not going to win a championship.
Yeah. At the same time, I think his own pride, he thinks, like, I mean, like, from an outsider's perspective, we can tell, like, okay, this team's not equipped to play the Warriors or the Rockets. But at the same time, this is essentially the same team that was up 20 points on the Warriors.
Yeah.
Until Kawhi got hurt.
Right.
They thought they were in the driver's seat. So from inside the organization, I feel like there's that pressure to think that they still have a shot.
Yeah, and obviously if you're on the team, you're going to think, oh, yeah, you know, we can compete with this team no matter what. You know, we're good enough to be there. If we're all playing well, they can't beat us. So I get that idea. It's just if you were Kawhi, like if I were Kawhi and I put myself in that position, I see we're in a three-way tie in the eighth spot that drops us to 10th and think, am I in 15 games really going to be enough to put this team over the top into the playoffs? And then if we do make the playoffs, we're going to have a shitty draw because we're going to be like a 7 or 8 seed and we're either going to play Golden State or Houston in the first round.
Yeah, but I do think organizationally they value their playoff streak and they should.
Oh, 100%, yeah.
At the same time. As the Bulls, as we know with the Bulls, their main selling point before we lost, missed the playoffs, was we made the playoffs the last 8 seasons in a row, which is fantastic in a league that more than half the teams make the playoffs.
Exactly. So, I mean, it definitely does matter from an organizational standpoint. It's just whether or not Kawhi gives a fuck. And at this point, I think it'd be hard to argue that he does, because everyone is telling him he can play and he's like, nah, I'm good.
Yeah, and it's been weird. I'm kind of surprised that it hasn't gotten more coverage than it has. Like, the Markelle Fultz situation has been like covered to an excess, but we haven't really heard anything from Kawhi.
Yeah, and this was the same thing essentially that happened with Derrick Rose, and he was getting torched for it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very Derrick heavy show today, but yeah.
God, that brings me back. Oh my God, that era where we still thought Derrick would be the same guy.
Dr. Reggie Rose, everybody was clearing him for play, and he was like, no, I can't. I want to walk in my son's graduation. Kindergarten graduation, that is.
Reggie's opinion is respected amongst the medical community, so.
He is one of those dentists that recommends Trident gum, so be careful.
Oh, no. Okay. I'll keep away from that.
Moving on to the NCAA tournament. It is here. As we're recording, we have one of the first 4 games on, LIU, Brooklyn, and Radford. Everyone is just clamoring about this matchup of Titans between the Blackbirds and the Highlanders. The nightcap is St. Bonaventure, UCLA, and then we've got the other 2 games tomorrow. Thursday opens up the tournament. First game of the day is actually an awesome one, Rhode Island and Oklahoma. We're not really going to go in game by game or anything like that. If you want to hear in-depth analysis, check out the B Fox and B Frank show. You can look it up at letmebefrankblog.com or on iTunes. Just type in B-Fox and B-Frank show. It'll show up. I just want to hear what your Final Four is. And actually, we have some news coming in. It's that DeAndre Hunter of Virginia is out for the NCAA tournament with a broken wrist. So big news coming as the Hoos 4th leading scorer out for the tournament, 9.2 points per game, which is about 14% of their offense, done for the tournament. So with that being said, let me hear your Final Four. We talked about it off air, so I know Virginia's one of them. Yep. But give me your Final Four, and then we can discuss what this means.
So we can talk about this after I give you the Final Four, but I still have Virginia reaching the Final Four. Out of the South region, out of the East, I have Villanova. And then out of the Midwest, I had a trouble picking between Michigan State, Duke, and Kansas, and I ended up going Michigan State.
Okay.
And then out of the West, I have Xavier beating North Carolina.
Interesting. All right.
Nothing really out of the blue. It's 3-1 seeds, but I had a really hard time deciding who I wanted to come out of the Midwest.
So, yeah, the Midwest and the West are tough because The West just seems wide open, because Xavier is probably the weakest one seed we've ever had in the NCAA tournament. Not that they're not a good team. It's just there's no one on that roster that you look at and you're like, wow, that's like a surefire pick that I'm afraid to play. Like, who's going to match up with him? They match up, like, every team can match up with them. The other thing in the Midwest is it's a lot of teams that have fallen off, if you will, that have played well and or have the potential to be national championship contenders, like Kansas, like Duke, like Michigan State. I have the bracket right here. I don't know why I don't just look at it. But
Auburn. Those teams.
Yeah, Auburn was at one point in the top 10. It's one of those things. Clemson was also a top 10 team at one point. So you've got a lot of teams that have potential to make runs to the Elite Eight, Sweet 16, Final Four, whatever it will be. So I think that's why that one was so tough. My Final Four is Arizona, Gonzaga, Villanova, and Duke. I had Arizona beating Virginia before the DeAndre Hunter news came out. I absolutely have them winning this one now. I don't see any way Virginia can get through the Sweet 16 without this guy. Virginia scores 68 points a game. He scores 9.5 of them approximately. 15% of their offense for a team that slows it down and likes to play defense. That's a big deal, obviously. Mm-hmm. He is a spark plug off the bench, and if you look at per 30-minute numbers, he's the best scorer on the team. So I'll let you ask your questions or whatever you have, but all I'm going to say is I didn't have Virginia. I think Virginia is a great team. Their defense this year has been historically great, but I think I thought beforehand that they were Arizona was a bad mismatch for them, and I still think after this that there's no way they can get through the Sweet 16.
I mean, and after what you said, I'm convinced I'll take any excuse to pick a team that has a high lottery draft pick over
right.
a team that I don't know anyone on.
Yeah, so there's a big thing. Mark Titus from The Ringer and One Shining Podcast always says that there you need a couple things to be a true, legitimate national title contender. And one is a surefire first-round pick. Like, you need to look at the team and go, wow, this guy's 100% going to the NBA. Like, if he left right now, he'd be a top 20 pick in the draft. Arizona absolutely has that with DeAndre Ayton. He's probably the number one pick at this point, and at least in my opinion. Mm-hmm. You also have to have a top 50 or top 40 defense. So doesn't necessarily mean you have to be a great team. You just have to have the defensive prowess to get it done. And if you look at a team like Arizona, they don't have the defense. So that's the scary part. Mm-hmm. But those are like the two points that everyone wants to make. Now, I have Villanova winning the national championship. I've said it since the beginning of the year. I will continue with it. I've said it through their losing streak. I don't even know if they had a losing streak, but through their losing games in February, losing to St. John's and whatever, mm-hmm. I still picked Villanova. I still think they're the best team. The only team I think that can challenge that is Duke, because they have the freshman class that's so damn good, and that if they play to their potential, they can score better than anyone in the country.
Yeah, Marvin Bagley, a few games I've watched of Duke, has been incredibly impressive. And
right.
Grayson Allen's still going to get under people's skin and be as good as he's been. So I could definitely, like, it's just years past has
yes, yeah, absolutely.
Clouded my judgment of Duke.
Yeah, and it's one of those things where Duke's got so much talent, and we've seen them lose to Lehigh before. Like, this is just, you know, it's the NCAA tournament. Anything can happen. You feel bad putting all your eggs in one basket, because once that one basket's gone, it's over. Like, you just realize the bracket's over for you. But that's the whole fun of it, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so Hunter's out. If you want, I like Arizona. Cincinnati's a good defensive team. They're like Virginia Light. Tennessee's pretty good.
Yeah, what do you think of Tennessee getting out of that conference? Or not conference, bracket.
It's tough. I think they've got a fairly favorable road if they were going to do it. But I still think, the winner of Arizona-Kentucky, if both teams win their opening round game, will move through, beat Virginia, and then give that bottom half of the region a really tough time in the Elite Eight. So if it's Arizona, I think they win no matter what. Kentucky is just such a question mark at this point this year that I can't go out and say, yeah, Kentucky for sure.
Okay, fair. I've now switched up my Final Four to include Tennessee rather than Virginia.
I love it. Rocky Top. We're singing Rocky Top all night long. Lane Kiffin.
I wanted any excuse to get the three number one seeds out of my Final Four, because I hate being that guy. It's like, I get all these top seeds. Yeah, it's sick.
Yeah, that's the worst. Tennessee actually has a guy named Admiral Schofield, who's from Illinois. Great name.
His actual first name is Admiral?
Admiral.
God bless him. All right.
Yep. So
I'm in. I'm so in.
If there was any other reason to get you all in on Tennessee, I think I just gave it to you.
All right.
Sold. We'll move on. Speaking of the NCAA tournament, we're going to go five ways to get out of work so you can watch the NCAA tournament. It can be while you're in the office or just to get out of work, whatever it may be. Pete, your idea. So let's open with you.
All right. Schedule like 2 hour long meeting in the meeting room that has the TV.
Yep. 100%.
For just the classic boss button on the stream on CBS.com.
It looks nothing like a real website or anything like that, but it always works.
Just working on this business, boss.
Just crunching numbers. You know me.
Number three, bet an exorbitant amount of money on the game so you can truthfully tell your boss you put all your savings on St. Bonaventure today.
Smart call. I like the Bonnies.
Empathy for you. Number two, tell your entire office you are vehemently against betting on amateur sports and are boycotting the tournament to throw them off the scent.
That's a smart idea as well.
Then number one, just have a sick child cough directly into your mouth to ensure that you have a sick day at home.
Smart idea. There is no worse day to take a sick day. Like, if you're actually sick on Thursday or Friday, there's no worse day because no one will believe that you were actually sick.
Yeah, not a chance.
So, shout out to those people. We know there'll be some. I'm sorry. I'm going to say it now. I'm sorry for you because, well, you get to enjoy two greatest days in the college basketball season. You will also be thought of as a liar in your office. So have fun with that.
This Thursday and Friday have the most sick emails that are saying, hey guys, I'm actually sick.
Yeah, please believe me. Like, I will send you a video of myself vomiting if I have to.
I'll bring a doggy bag into work tomorrow just to prove this.
Yes. So Seton Hall's in the tournament, my alma mater. They play Thursday at 3:30. My number five reason is how I'm hoping it'll work. I'm just going to show up to work early and then try and leave early. Keep still working that instead of the 9 to 5, maybe the 8 to 4 slot, get out of there and get home so I can watch the game.
Yeah.
Number four, just take a long lunch. Like, oh, what's the harm? An extra half hour? You know, it's not going to kill you.
No.
You put in the extra hours throughout the year. Everyone knows no one truly stays from start time to end time. There's always a little overlap both ways. So you've earned the extra half hour.
Yeah. Play with the hour a little bit there.
Number three, if you're in a job that's like face-to-face heavy or anywhere where you need to be on the phone, just say, you know, you're working on a big email or a big spreadsheet that you really need to just pay close attention to and really go in depth to make sure you're getting it to the right people. Meanwhile, you have the screen up so you can watch the games or watch the scores. Number two, this is shout out Norland. He gave me this idea, but I'll say I was thinking about it as we were coming up with the idea of the top five. It's a volunteer to run your office bracket pool so that you have to like, oh, I have to check the games so that I know who wins so I can update the office after every final score goes live.
And that could actually fly if you work in an office with older people, because I don't know if they know that it updates automatically.
Right. If they're like, no, I would like to fill out a paper bracket. Okay. We're going to do it this way.
That's a whole nother ball game. If you have everyone fill out paper brackets and mark them off yourself.
Then have a spreadsheet or whatever, like a whiteboard in the office that has everything listed. That's the way to do it.
Old school is the way to keep you able to watch the games.
Mm-hmm. And then number one, just car troubles. Couldn't get to work today. My car wouldn't start. Or go to lunch. I can't get back. My car is busted. I got to sit here at Buffalo Wild Wings for another 3 hours or whatever it may be.
And then two more here from inputs from Sam Norland here. One, he put in the bunker on your calendar all day.
Yes.
People will understand.
Just do not disturb.
And then another one, just quit.
That's a great one. Just quit your job. I mean, you'll Clean find break. Another one.
Clean break.
Exactly. Let us know your ways of getting out of work to watch the tournament. Everyone's got their own. I know it's Thursday, Friday, or Vic Vasectomy Day, so shout out to those people.
Is that RIP. Actually a thing?
Yes, big time. Oh, this is the busiest time of year for vasectomies this week.
That's fascinating.
Yep. The more you know. Let us know at LMBF Sports, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. We'd love to hear, interact with y'all, and see how you get out of work to watch the games. Move on to our stats. I have just one. It is about, as John Rothstein would say, the Fortune 500 company that is Villanova basketball. In the last five seasons, 180 games, Villanova is 159-21. They have three Big East tournament titles, four regular season championships, won five in-season tournaments. They're 20-0 in the Power 5 games, and they've never lost two straight. They've won one national title.
That's incredible. It's incredible.
Pretty good.
Just to interrupt here, Packers just signed Muhammad Wilkerson.
Jesus Christ. All right.
Packers, well, fun. I'm just going to expand on this a little bit. It makes me so happy. Like, I forgot how fun it is to hear your team in free agency rumors.
Yes.
I mean, building through the draft is like, it's No one gets credit for it. It's fine. It's good team building, but free agency, big splashes, there's nothing better.
Free agency is wild. I remember the days of the Bears going big in free agency and whiffing on every single person, but Julius Peppers. And Chester Taylor getting a 3-year, $30 million deal was just lovely.
What about the Moose?
Moose. I forgot about that, dude.
Do you have any other sets?
No, that's it.
All right. I got three. First one, if every Canadian in the world pitched in a dollar, the Raptors would still not be able to pay LeBron's salary for next year.
Dear Lord.
There's 30.3 million Canadians, I want to say. And so if everyone pitched a dollar, the Canadian dollar is worth a little bit less than the US dollar. I think it translates like $29.6 million, and LeBron's salary would be like $36 million.
That's a tough one. Well, especially Canadian dollars, because the Canadian dollar to the American dollar is much less. So
yeah.
I mean, let's go ahead with your next one as I pull up Canadian dollar to the American dollar.
I think I already said this one earlier, but Jazz won as of Monday. The Jazz won 18 of their last 20, and when they started that streak, they were the 10th seed. They were still the 10th seed.
It's a tough life. So the Canadian dollar is one Canadian dollar is 77 American cents.
Yeah. So translate it however you will. There's like, I think, around 31 million Canadians.
Jesus. Well, good for them. Good for them.
All right. Okay. And then last one here. This is just a fun, this is a trivia. Brian, you want to guess how old Andrew Bynum is?
Andrew Bynum is 39 years old.
30 flat.
Oh my God. He's 30?
He's still only 30. People forget he was the youngest player ever drafted.
Yeah, I clearly did. I knew he was young, but I thought he was like Rasul Butler's age, RIP.
What a player to bring up, Brian. Jesus, come on.
I only said that because I knew he was 38.
But no, Bynum was drafted when he was still 17. And apparently that was 13 years ago, which is insane.
Wow. Jesus.
Well, yeah, that's what I have for sets.
All right, we'll move on to tweets. I've got two. One of them I'm going to air someone the fuck out. The second one, let's go with the first one, where 538 Sports, the stat nerds, tweeted out an article about conference tournaments and how the major conferences had them in cities that made no sense. So these were where the conference tournaments were held for each of the Power Six, and this is where the suggested location was for each of these conferences. Big 12 was in Kansas City, Missouri. It was suggested that they play in Memphis, Tennessee. That's okay.
That's not terrible.
Yeah, I don't hate that one. Pac-12 was in Vegas. They suggested Salt Lake City. Again, no big deal. Utah's there. It makes sense. SEC was in St. Louis. They also suggested Memphis, Tennessee. Again, I'm fine with that. It's there are two SEC teams in Tennessee. Here's where we get funky. The Big East was in New York, obviously Madison Square Garden. They suggest the Big East hotbed of Columbus, Ohio.
Is that just because of the Creighton Western?
Yep.
Is that just – how do they calculate this, the recommended?
It's the geographic center. So, Okay. Yeah, that's how they do it. It's outrageous to do that. But, hey, Big Ten was also in New York. They suggested Chicago. Obviously, that makes sense. That's where it's going back to. And then the ACC was in Brooklyn, and they suggested Raleigh, North Carolina. It's in Charlotte most of the time, which is fine. But it's just the whole point of that was to prove that conference tournaments make no sense in where they're played outside of the Big Ten when it's in Chicago or Indianapolis, the ACC when it's in the Carolinas, the SEC when it's somewhere in the South that's not St. Louis. And then the Big 12, Kansas City, I think, is fine for the Big 12.
And you know what? I'm fine with St. Louis getting that. They lost their football team.
Take it, St. Louis. You guys deserve it. You earned it. The second tweet I have is a Seton Hall alumnus, John Brickley, works for ESPN, tweeted out, Seton Hall sucks, and then deleted it 3 minutes later.
Why is he doing that?
Because he's a loser. That's why. I don't know what else to say.
Can we kiss his ass a little bit, try and get him on the pod, and then just rip a new one?
I would love to. John, if you're listening, you're definitely not, but because you're too lame to listen to this show. But come on, let's discuss. Let's talk about why you hate our alma mater. What do you have?
All right, I have two. First one, Joe Theismann on the Kirk Cousins with the Redskins. It's not the Redskins didn't want him, but I think it would have been a big nut to swallow.
Good vocabulary there.
Do you think Joe knew what he was saying there?
Yes, I think Broadway Joe always says what he means.
Yeah, I think so too. And the second one from the Lawrence Police Department. Please do not call 911 to complain about the format of the NCAA tournament selection show. We can't do anything about it, no matter how bad it is.
It was terrible. Let me tell you, it was really bad. We didn't really touch on it much, but yeah, that was. I'm glad I missed this year's. I got to watch a little bit of it afterwards, and I was like, thank God I did not have to sit through this whole thing.
Yeah, they ruined a really simple thing, so hopefully they'll get the sense to go back to it.
Get your head out of your ass and go back to the good stuff. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. As always, we'll close up the show. Looking forward to the weekend. There's a lot going on this weekend, so Pete, what are you looking forward to?
I'm going to go away from the tournament and say Tiger at Bay Hill. See if he can follow, follow up his last tournament.
Tiger almost back. He almost won last week. Nice little run for him. Very exciting stuff. I'm going to go away from sports in general and say St. Patrick's Day. Shout out to all my Irish brethren.
There we go. Irish cultural appropriation.
Yep. It's very sad that we get taken advantage of like this on our day of days, you know. But hey, just remember, the Fighting Irish nickname is racist. Max Kellerman.
Yeah, I'm kind of conflicted between drinking too much and wanting to watch the game seriously.
I will be working, so you could be me.
Yep. I feel like you end up saying that at any point every week.
Yep.
I'll be working.
Mm-hmm. That's our show. You can catch us at letmebefrankblog.com, at LMBF Sports on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Hit us up. We love hearing from everyone. Let us know what we can do better. And we'll see you next week.